Okay. Today is the 6th day of February, 2018, the 21st day of Shvat, Tav Shedayin Ches, our Halacha day of Perek Yud Gimel. I looked around a little bit to try to find a real Hilchos Degayim Halachic Sugya to work on. It was not easy to find something that would not take me 4 hours to prepare. So instead, I don't think it's too much of a cop-out. In fact, I did hint to this possibility. Actually, before we get to there, we'll do the mini Halacha day. One issue that we're going to... Today's halacha day will cover hilchos avelos that have to do with the mitzvah, with the person that is sitting out there. So it describes a couple of the laws of avelos. In fact, it's discussed over the course of in Maseches Moed Katan. That's where these halachos of the mitzvah get discussed. It talks about the person who is in avelos. See chayv in this has a discussion. What about somebody who is menuda? Menuda. Anybody know what that means? Menuda nidui. Nidui is somebody who is in chayrim. So the idea of chayrim really is that Beis Din has essentially put a person to spiritual death. So therefore there is some forms of avelus that are observed for that particular person. And then it says, oh, by the way, this is applied to mitzorah also. And pretty much all of them, the mitzorah, it says take. We're not really sure about how it applies to a mitzorah. So we'll get to that in a moment. But before we get to that, there is one halacha topic, and that is the within mitzorah itself, and that is the idea we raised, is a person obligated to actually go to the Kohen. Right, what is his mitzvah? So in the Sefer HaChinuch, mitzvah Kuf Samach Tes, so the mitzvah is described as Latami Ad Mitzorah, Kolomer Shemitzvah, if a person who is Tame as a Mitzorah, Kolomer Shemitzvah Hi Aleinu Shekomi Sheyia Mitzorah Sheyavu El HaKohen. That the mitzvah is that anybody who has the form of the Mitzorah to go to a Kohen. In fact, he is describing that as the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to go to the Kohen. Shekomi Sheyia Mitzorah Sheyavu El HaKohen, Lishol Al Tzaras, to ask about his Tzaras. The Kohen Yitmenu Yitarenu, and the Kohen will make his decision. Vehu Yisnaig Al Pi Torah HaKsuvah Kasher Yitzavhinu HaKohen. And that is actually how it's described in the Torah writes, that as you'll do as the Kohen commands. And v'loyikach hadav kecholei haba b'mikra. We don't treat it as somebody who just happened to get sick. Al yitein leva lav yodeik yigodav v'neinu goramosa. Rather, he thinks about it and he realizes that it's sins that caused it, as it says, adam kiya b'or b'sarob huva el aron hakohen o lechad mi b'nav hakohen. So that is the din. So the Minchas Chinuch comments that near midivrei rav hamachaber shezum mitzvahs ase sheilach hakohen. That is actually the mitzvah to go to the kohen. And he quotes some other Rambam comments as well. In fact, in the footnote here, he talks about that one would force a person to go to a Kohen if he has Saras and he's not going, so you can force him to go. So that is, if not the entire mitzvah, that's certainly a major aspect of the mitzvah. So that's one issue I wanted to just mention. No, so we assume not. However, he does discuss here, I noticed in the Sefer HaChinuch, that there are some aspects, meaning technically you could become a mitzvah b'smanazah. That's the way he seems to say. And if you were declared a mitzvah, you would be prohibited to go into Yerushalayim. Now, can you get that without... I mean, a Kohen, does the Kohen have to be in the base of Migdash in order to declare you as a mitzvah? I don't know. Okay.
I'm in retreat with this today. As well as it.
No.
Okay. Then it's rude. So there is no.
Well,
you can't be a mitzvah if.
Well, but it's you could potentially be a mitzvah.
But then you'd be obligated to go to the koi. He doesn't know what he's doing.
Well, that might be.
But doesn't he have to identify it?
Yeah.
Right. I understand. So we just understood the mitzvah is to go to a kohen. So you have to go to the kohen, try to figure it out. Now the kohen doesn't know it, so you're stuck.
But how do you know your mitzvah?
But the mitzvah is still in force. That's what I mean. I mean, the halachos are still out there. The halachos are still in force. It's just not applicable. Okay, it's not. Lamaisa is not going to come up. It wasn't required reading for in order to get my smicha. So,
you're not a kohen.
Neither am I a kohen. That's true. So So if in the Mikras Gedolos it does quote the Biuri and Mitzvah of the Rambam, and he talks about what are the things that are prohibited. So he mentions here for Asur b'She'ilas Shalom, there's a prohibition of She'ilas Shalom, as it says you have to be quiet and your lips should be sealed, but you could continue to learn. You're not permitted to get a haircut or to wash your clothing. However, v'noeg b'chol advar me'ilu, and even on Shabbos and Yontif these are going to be applicable, but you are permitted to wash yourselves, anoint yourselves, kneel the sandal, to wear shoes. Uvitash v'shamita is also permissible, although that itself is a question. The Rambam holds that tash v'shamita is permissible for a mitzorah. However, the Gemara itself in Moed Katan seems to indicate that it's not permissible. So the commentaries on the Rambam say that the Rambam is actually learning out from a different Gemara, and he passes like a different Gemara over that one. So, okay, that's a question that is out there. And also the mitzorah ina paras v'ina paremis v'lo al safam, right? About Yosheva's he bechutz l'ir, they shouldn't have conversations. He tells everybody that he's tamei, and he wears this. And he wears this clothing, as the pasuk itself says, he wears this clothing above his head to cover his eyes, all the way down to his lips. So asked Sam, so does that actually have a role b'zman hazeh when it comes to avelus? The answer is sort of. It's the same halacha that we just mentioned before. It is mentioned in the Gemara. The Gemara itself mentions that it's going to apply to mitzora. So here is the halacha as quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Simon shin pei vav atifas harosh ba'avel, the covering of the head of an avel. Says the Shulchan Aruch, aval chayv batifas harosh, he's chayv to cover his head. Dahainu she chasa rosho betalis o besuda, that he covers his head with a talus or a cloth, v'yachsor k'tzasu al piv, and the edge reaches his mouth, v'yal rosh hachutam, and the end of his nose, v'hani mili shetzarech hatifa b'chol yom, and this actually requires it the entire day. Aval k'shebayi menachman etzla, but when people come to visit him, megala roshu l'chadus, then he can uncover his head a little bit in order to see it. So according to the Shulchan Aruch, it seems like it is fully applicable, but it could be you won't see him, because if you go visit, he'll uncover it. Now, that's what the Mechaber says. So comes the Rama and comments, She'ein v'yesh omrim she'ein noa gimba medinas elu batifa, that we are not required. By the way, where did he get this from? The Rambam, if you look in the Rambam actually quotes from this pasuk, from the pasuk that discusses atifa in our section here. That's his source. And in fact, the Rambam quotes Unklus.
That's his source for Avelus. For
covering the face. And the Rambam actually quotes Unklus, which itself is an interesting thing. The Rambam quotes Unklus as saying, the translation of the terminology used in the pasuk is atifa, is covering. So Ram, it seems like it then would be a din d'oraisa of some sort, like pretty chamur din, a pretty strict din to follow. So comes the Rambam and says, V'yishorim she'in noikim b'dinas eil batifa, that we don't have the minhag of doing it. V'chein ha-minug pashut, that's a simple minug, v'ein l'hachmer l'shanas v'meshul l'naga v'sein. You shouldn't be machmer and change that which our fathers weren't knowing. So don't be machmer about it. And even if you say, well, I learned Parshas Tazria inside and notice that the Rambam includes it, etc., and I want to include it, etc., says the Rama, don't do it. That you're not supposed to go ahead and do this. Now that doesn't sound very religious. Wait a second. What do you mean we're not knowing? What does that mean that the practice isn't knowing? So what? If it's a mitzvah, if that's what you're supposed to do, that's what you're supposed to do. So how does this idea come about? So comes the Shach and comments. I'm reading here from the Badi HaShulchan, who quotes from the Shach. Well, actually, I have the Shach right here. So hold on. Good question. So says the Shach, why? So it will lead to being made fun of by the non-Jews, the slaves and maidservants that live amongst us, period. So that's the reason it's not applicable, so it will lead to mockery. So that's a little bit more of a question. Okay, so there are plenty of things that we do that could lead towards mockery. Why does this somehow get some kind of mockery exemption? So the answer probably is because the laws of Avelus is supposed to develop some sort of scene, some sort of emotion, some sort of you're supposed to get to some type of feeling by way of Avelus. So if this is going to keep one from doing that, so then we're going to nullify that halacha. A similar halacha, I believe, comes up with regards to shoes. There's a whole there's big shoes machlokas when it comes to avelus bisman hazeh, and that is that the laws of avelus we paskin, Ashkenazim paskin, I believe the Sfarim paskin as well, against the Rambam, that the laws of avelus begin already from the time of death. The prohibitions of avelus begin already at that time, and it's just we don't sit shiva until the burial takes place. But the laws, the prohibitions of avelus begin already right away. So, for example, prohibition of work. Somebody passes away, but the family can't say, "Oh well, at least I have another day to work until the funeral, and I could close out all my business for the week." No, that's not okay. That's not permissible. And the showers and the clothing and all the kind of things apply right away. So what about shoes? So is one permitted to wear shoes to the funeral? So traditionally, yes. If you look in Shulchan Aruch, the answer is yes. If you wear shoes to the funeral, then you take them off after the funeral, either there at the gravesite, or when you get home. Right? That's when the shoes are going to be changed. Why are shoes the exception to the rule? Why would you think shoes would be the exception to the rule? So it's important to not have Flintstones complex when discussing this halacha. What is Flintstones complex?
Barefoot.
What? No, not Flintstones complex doesn't have to do with shoes per se. What's Flintstones complex? I had a history professor in college who used to yell at us that we were suffering the Flintstones complex. Flintstones complex is imposing our modern day perception on previous periods of time. Right, so the Flintstones, they might not have had telephones, but they had these other ways of picking up some horn or something and being able to call somebody else. Or they didn't have cars, but instead they had these these car things where they would walk with the wheels, etc. That's the joke of the... It's anachronistic. I think that's the more professional way to say it. So we don't want to suffer Flintstones complex. So nowadays, when we talk about our shoes for avelus, so we have our shoes they wear during the week. And on Tisha B'Av, what do we have? We have canvas shoes that we wear. Or Yom Kippur, we have canvas shoes or sandals, etc. It's really not that big a deal. But back in the day, you didn't have all these pairs of shoes. You're lucky if you even had one pair of shoes. So what are you going to do when you go to the burial? The burial wasn't like today, where it's all dug out with machinery, etc. It was a lot of work going ahead and burying somebody. So you're going to go without shoes? That's going to be a very difficult thing to do. So you need your shoes in order to do the action of burial of the mace. Right? So then after the burial takes place, so that's when you take your shoes off. However, nowadays, it could be that you can wear your regular... You can wear your non-leather shoes, right? If we assume that you're allowed to wear non-leather shoes over the course of avelus, and most people have non-leather shoes to wear over the course of avelus, so why not wear those right away? So there are poskim that make that suggestion that bisman hazeh, where we don't have to fear the difficulty of doing a burial, nor will we be mocked by non-Jews for not wearing shoes to a cemetery. So those halachas perhaps have fallen, the halacha, not that the halacha has changed, but the application of the halacha has changed, and perhaps one should wear shoes already. One should stop wearing their shoes already from the time as soon as they hear about the death. Okay? So that is one issue with regards to the cover. Now the Shach does add in one thing. The Shach does add, Mihu yesh linhog batifa ksas. There are those that have the minhag of doing a little bit of atifa. The hainu limshil hakova lamata lifnei hainayim, to take his hat and kind of put it above his eyes. V'chein mash beveis beveis chadash, and that's what it seems to learn out from the Bach as well. So the Shach does have this suggestion that you should lower it below the eyes. In fact, in the Vadi HaShulchan, he expands upon this a little bit and says, yeah, and then you can fulfill the Mechaber also, that when somebody comes to the house, you could raise the hat a little bit in order to see him. So he has this idea of wearing a hat, and there are Adam Gadol's that do it, and he says, and even though the Chachmas Adam and the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch quote this idea of the Shach, right? It appears to me that people are knowing this, and I don't really know why, but that's the minhag. The minhag does not seem to be mekayim this din of the Shach. People sit as they sit without covering their head. So that is the halakhic history of the head covering, as learned out explicitly from these psukim. Now something else, the other hilchos avelus that seems to come directly from these laws of Mitzorah, is the prohibition of She'elas Shalom. That is it. That was at Shin Pei Vav. The issue with the hats was Shin Pei Vav in Yoredeya. Shin Pei Hei covers the prohibition of She'elas Shalom. Now, if you go to Shin Pei Hei Sif Alef, it's actually pretty lengthy. It goes through this whole order of when it's allowed, what's not allowed, when's allowed. It says Avel Aser B'She'elas Shalom. Avel is not permitted to be involved in greetings. Ketzad Shloshes Yom Harishonim Enu Shol B'Shalom Kol Adam Yachem Lo Yadu Shehu Avel V'Shal B'Shalom Yeshu Imahem. He's not allowed to ask other people, and other people are not allowed to ask him. And if they ask him, he's not allowed to respond. Rather, you should just tell him that he's an Avel. And then from the third day to the seventh day, they shouldn't ask him. But if other people don't know and they ask him, so then he can answer them from Shiva till Shloshim. They could ask him Shol B'Shalom Achirim Shehim Shiruim B'Shalom Ve'in Achirim Shol B'Shlomo. He could ask other people, but they can't ask him. And then continues on. It's somewhat complicated how to remember it. So the Ramah comments here: V'yesh Makilim Ha'idna B'She'elas Shalom Avil Achir Lamed. That there are those that are Makil B'Zman Hazeh when it comes to She'elas Shalom after Shloshim. Ve'in Tan Lahem Im Lo Shiach Loku Lomer Shezeh Mash Anu Noagim Lo Mikri She'elas Shalom Shebi Mehem. That and they're not. It sounds like they're incorrect. Unless we say that which we are knowing today to say that the greetings that we use today are not the equivalent of the greetings that they used in the old times. Right, so this is that's the Ramaz. I mean, the only basis to say that we're going to be Mekel is that we're going to be lenient, as if we assume that our greetings are not the same as their greetings. So this is always a difficult kind of thing to analyze. When we say, well, things are different now than it was then, we're not on a high enough level to understand it as they did then. We're not we can't fast as much because our bodies can't handle it as much as that. We're not as healthy as they were. So all these are difficult things to handle. Especially because we usually assume that we probably are a lot healthier than they were in the past, and things of that nature. But this one is even more complicated. What do you mean? Our greetings aren't the same as they were back in the day? What is the Ramah driving at?
We're being mekel about what?
About greeting people. That when the Gemara says you're not allowed to greet people, right? That's the good old-time greetings. But nowadays, greetings, we don't have greetings. And it's especially problematic because we know what their greetings were. Right? The Gemara describes their greetings. They used to say to people, Shalom Aleichem. Right? And what do we say today? We say today a very similar thing. We say, Shalom Aleichem. Right? So what exactly is the Ramah talking about when he says that that our greetings are different back in the day? So the Shach raised this question. He says, Be'emes, right, Ein Zeh Tam. This doesn't really fit. Nachon, this isn't really a correct reason. And he adds in another technical reason. Deimkein Toch Lam and Nami. V'lo Matzin L'Shum Posik Shechilik B'Kach. He says, the Shach has another question. He says, if the Ramah is right, that, our greetings are different, so then says the Shach, so then our greetings are different. If our greetings are different, they're different. So why is he imposing a prohibition until day 30? Just say our greetings are different and we don't have to worry about it at all, Bizman Hazeh. So how does one go ahead and reconcile this? So there is a Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham in Tuf Kuf Nun Dalet. Now the Magen Avraham is, of course, writing only on Or Chaim. So the laws of Avelis appear in Yoredeya. So why are you going to have the Magen Avraham speaking about Hilchos Avelis? Anybody know? Why? Where in Or Chaim? Where would we have discussion of Hilchos Avelis? Why would the Mishnah Berurah ever be talking about Hilchos Avelis? So it comes up in the laws of Tisha B'Av. On Tisha B'Av, there's also prohibition of She'elas Shalom. Shulchan Aruch says, "Imchal Tisha B'Av b'Shavas mutar b'kulam." Oh, I'm sorry, I went to the wrong one. There it is. Sorry, Sif Chaf Tuf Kuf Nun Dalet Sif. That you're not supposed to greet people, and if somebody doesn't know this halacha, so you could answer him. You could answer him, but but you should answer him in some kind of low type of term. So says the Magen Avraham, in she'ela shalom. So he quotes in Yerideya, "Zeh mash anu nostim shalom, lo mikri she'ela shalom." So he quotes from Yerideya that which we give today, she'ela shalom, is not really she'ela shalom. Why? Should be a mehem. It's Sarachian, right? Questionable. Why should that be? That b'tur sham migay Yerusham, was the Torah actually quotes through Yerusham, Yisha kasa behedya, shalom aleichem, right? V'gam b'gemara, aminan, k'dei she'ela talmud l'rav, shalom alecha rebbe. So we know what they said. V'lachin ein lahakil. V'nir ali, the usher gam kin lishlo, period. Okay, let's hold off on that second part for a moment here. So he seems to raise a question with this entire idea that there should be any type of distinction. So what do we say about that? So when I learned Tilchas Avelis, or Sobolovsky gave a couple of different. He felt that one could divide it up perhaps into four different categories. So it could be the answer is when we say Shalom Aleichem. Actually, this I saw. Where did I see this? Maybe it was in the Badi Shulchan itself. In the Badi Shulchan, he made the distinction and said, yes, there's Shalom Aleichem. And then what are we saying when we say Shalom Aleichem? Right, when you say and greet somebody, say, hey, Shalom Aleichem. Right, what are you saying to them? Right, you're very righteous, but what really are you saying to them?
Hi.
Hi. Thank you. Somebody's honest around here. Right, you're saying to them hi, but what did the Gemara actually mean? The Gemara actually meant that it was divrei bracha, and that really is the problem. The problem is to give a divrei bracha as opposed to just be saying hello. So what the Rama meant was back in the day when they said shalom aleichem, they actually meant peace be with you, my son, and I really hope everything worked out for you. Nowadays, what do we mean by that? We mean by it hi. So therefore, and we don't have to feel bad. That was the way they were dealing with it by the Ramah's time as well. So perhaps that is that might be the distinction. Another distinction that there might be is the idea, and what the Magen Avraham might be driving at, or even to fulfill the Magen Avraham, is that maybe what the Ramah is talking about by our greetings is not Shalom Aleichem, but rather he's referring to good morning. Even though he calls it She'ela Shalom, it's not necessarily She'ela Shalom as Shalom Aleichem, but rather he's referring to our greetings. What's our greetings? So our greetings today often is a Guten Tag, or a good morning, or hello, how are you doing, etc. So those perhaps are that is a further distinction. Now, if you're going to hold like that, that actually opens up a chumrah. That means that it's then prohibited to say shalom aleichem to an avel for the entire 12 months, right? If the Rama was only permitting saying good morning, that ends up being a chumrah for the idea of saying shalom aleichem. So what are the four categories? Number one is a very... and the third possible distinction is that nowadays when somebody says, hey, how are you? So the appropriate response nowadays is, how are you? Right? Don't even answer the question anymore. So, but back in the day, it might have been, how are you? And the person would say, oh, well, actually, I had a headache yesterday, and this morning I'm feeling much better. And this morning I had a good breakfast, and now I'm feeling good. Well, thank you very much for asking. Right, so most people actually answered that question. We would look at them like they're crazy. But that might be what the answer was back in the day. So again, four categories. Number one, a very warm hello, where you actually say hello. Hi, how are you doing? I really want to know. Please give me an answer, and if you whether good or whether bad, I want to hear about it. So that is probably usher all 12 months. Right? That's what we're actually prohibiting. That's what they did during time to Gemara as well. The second thing is the idea of using the word shalom. So that would then sound like it's a machlokas between the Shach and the Magen Avraham. The Shach saying that that's okay, and the Magen Avraham seemed to saying that no, that's not okay. From the fact that the power of his question seemed to imply that he felt that our shalom today is the same shalom as back in the old days, and therefore it should be prohibited. The third thing then is the idea of saying good morning. So good morning is maybe what the Ramah said, and maybe that's what you then should avoid during shalom, saying good morning or have a good day or things like that, because you're actually there is a bit of a bracha aspect to that. And then number four is hello. So what is hello? I don't know, we can check the etymology of hello, but it's possible that the word hello is even permissible during Shiva. It's possible that's not even considered a greeting at all. So yish makom lahakel when it comes to the word hello. Okay.
What about, you're dealing with a person that's grieving.
Clearly, yes.
Clearly they're not shalom. They're not whole.
Okay.
At peace. So, it's inappropriate to greet them with peace. Right? No?
Okay. Sure.
Do you hear what I'm saying? A person's in mourning is, by definition.
Right. By saying, everything should be okay, you're implying that you should be getting out of this situation. Well, we understand Shiva as being that a person should be in that situation. I hear. Okay. Good. Good Ara. Okay, so the Maragin Avram then adds in that last line that I cut myself off before saying is not there, but over here. The Maragin Avram says, change the page. He says, and so too we have a problem when it comes to Shalach Manos. Where is it? Tafkuf Nun Vav. He says, Tafkuf Nun Dalet. Venerally, the Usser Gamkein Lishloach Doron. Sorry, Lishloach Doron the Chavero. Tzeu be. Tzehu. Oh, bichlal. Okay, it's a little rubbed out there, but zeu bichlal she'ela shalom, and that's included she'ela shalom. So sending presents then is also a problem. The other thing that this also falls under the category of the issue of inviting guests. That can somebody during their shloshim or their year of avelus either have guests or could they be guests? Is that appropriate? So that could very well fall under this category of she'ela shalom. Not really parties or anything, but rather this category. And it's a bit of a shaila, right? Whether to either have guests over or not. I usually tell.
Oh, you said guests. I thought you said get. I was trying to figure out how.
Guests. Right, so I usually tell people that if it's a party, you should avoid. If it's not a party, you shouldn't. Well, how do you know the difference? So I tell people is it depends if the conversation at the table, if there's one conversation at the table or multiple conversations at the table. All right, if there's a small enough amount of people that everybody's sitting around one table and can talk to each other, so that's guests. If it's too large, that there's multiple things going on at once, so then that already could qualify as a party, and that perhaps would be more problematic. The other issues with this also is that usually you're talking about a married couple, so one's an avel and one's not an avel. So just because one's an avel, why should the other one have to suffer? So there's a little bit of that aspect as well. And one other thing that Rabbi Rosenblatt once pointed out is that the discussion in Shulchan Aruch about this has to do with some type of rotating social gatherings. It doesn't at all talk about Hachnasas Orchim. So it's a bit of a question. Having your friend over from shul that you sit next to in shul, is that considered Hachnasas Orchim or not? Well, can make a case that it's not really Hachnasas Orchim. Inviting guests, Hachnasas Orchim is really when you know, there's somebody around that doesn't have a place to go, he ends up in shul and he doesn't have a place to eat. That's Hachnasas Orchim. To just have a friend over, that's not necessarily Hachnasas Orchim, that's a party. That's a date or something. Maybe he doesn't qualify for this mitzvah. So that is probably much more likely to be permissible over the course of the year of Avelus. To have somebody over who actually, where it's a real chesed, that's something that would be okay. Just one last thing with regards to Shalach Manos, so it is discussed in Shulchan Aruch itself, the Taf Reish Sadi Vav, Sif Vav, Rei Yesh Bishomer She'Avel Chayiv L'Shalach Manos. There are those that say that the Avel has to send, it's just one of his mitzvahs of the day. Aval in Shulchan L'Avel Kol Yabes Chodesh, but you shouldn't send to the Avel all 12 months. However, if there's nobody else in the city other than somebody who is an avel, so then you'd be permitted to give to him, because otherwise you're not going to be able to fulfill the mitzvah. But there is an idea of not sending shalach manos to an avel. Rav Yashiv is passing that you are permitted to send to the spouse of the avel. So instead of to the avel, you can get around by sending to their spouse. There are some that dispute that. That's just a way of getting around it. You shouldn't even send to the spouse either. There's a form of avelus that imposes itself upon the spouse as well. One can make that case. I think the minig is to send to the spouse. It's the shul minig as well. When the shul sends shalach manos to somebody who is an avelus, so they don't list the avel's name. They only list the other person's name. If the person, however, doesn't have a spouse and they are in avelus for that year, there's probably room to be makel anyways by simply saying that shul shalach manos is really a joke, and what you're essentially doing when you give money is buying your own shalach manos. So you essentially are just getting the food that you yourself paid for. Maybe there's more of a room to say that's okay. I would add, and there's also along these same lines of the issues of sending cards or other types of greetings that the person gets, like sending an anniversary card or a birthday card to somebody who's in avelus. So that as well is a similar shaila that might be a violation of sending somebody greetings. All right, so we'll stop here.